And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today, folks, and hope you all are enjoying the day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we can be glad and rejoice in it. And I know we are watching this story unfold day by day, but look, there's a lot of good news happening, too. We are seeing states begin to open up, and that's a great thing, because I think the economy has got to get back up and running. As you know, they're talking about another, I think it's a $400 billion stimulus package. And Nancy Pelosi is saying that she wants to provide a $2,000 a month guaranteed income for the foreseeable future to deal with the virus. But folks, you know, the problem with socialism is that sooner or later you run out of other people's money. And you can't print money. Printed money is valueless. Money has to be based upon value behind it. And that's set by the marketplace. That is not set by the printer. So how much more money can we spend here? You know, I think, folks, we are really getting dangerously close to stepping into the realm of fiscal total irresponsibility here. You just can't keep spending and spending and spending and spending and spending and spending and spending. But here again, that just gets us back to the whole issue of how we've handled this. And by the way, are you ready for this? The director of health for the state of Virginia, the great Commonwealth of Virginia, has said that we're going to probably be in phase one for 2 years. Yes, folks, I know. No. EW, I didn't hear you right. That was not, no, you made a mistake. No. Yes. The director of health for the Commonwealth of Virginia speculated we could be in phase one for 2 years. Now, my only response to that, folks, can be these people have really just lost their minds. They really have. They really have. Because there wouldn't be an economy left in Virginia after 2 years of this. I forget the exact parameters of phase one, but phase one doesn't allow very much. I think the restrictions on groups remains the same during phase one, which is like 10 people. And remember, we are operating under an order. And by the way, I just got an email. Here's more good news. Just got an email from one of my friends about a lawsuit that was brought against Governor Ralph Northam saying he could not shut down gun ranges. So it looks like the gun ranges in Virginia are going to reopen because the gun ranges are closed. Unless it's a private range, you can't go anywhere and shoot at a gun range. Because after all, that's a non-essential service. Yeah, here again, folks, you know, I don't have any problem with any business that can remaining open and trying to do its business. I really don't. And trying to do it safely, trying to do it with reason, with rationality. But the idea that a liquor store and an abortion clinic are essential, but a gun range is not, says who? I mean, what's the standard by which you have made that decision? And I know what the standard is. The standard is far left, anti-constitutional thinking, because I got news for you. The liquor store is not protected by the Constitution and not in any specific provision or amendment of the Bill of Rights. And certainly abortion clinics, I don't care what the Roe v. Wade court said, is not protected by any provision of the Bill of Rights. But gun ranges are by extension of the Second Amendment. Because if there's no place to shoot, then your Second Amendment rights are meaningless. I mean, that's like outlawing ammunition. You have the right to bear arms, you just can't have any ammunition. So the good news is a court finally slapped him down and said, you cannot do that. Thank God. Well, look, I wanted to run through in this first segment the states that are opening up. So it looks like Alaska, is stay-at-home order has been in effect since March the 28th, and they're reopening as of April 24th. Colorado, as of April 26th, they're opening. Again, and these are with varying degrees, but states are beginning to open up. Georgia, their stay-at-home order is expiring on April the 30th. Minnesota's is expiring on May the 3rd. Mississippi's is expired yesterday, April 27th. Montana's expired on April 26th. Oklahoma didn't have a stay-at-home order, but they had other restrictions in place. And it looks like most of those are being lifted. Were lifted as of April 24th. South Carolina had a stay-at-home order in effect. They started lifting theirs as of April 20th. Tennessee as of April 30th. So a lot of good stuff. You know, states opening up. Alabama's expires on the 30th. Arizona's does as well. Florida's does as well. Idaho's does as well. Maine's, Nevada's, Texas. Here again, they had stay-at-home orders in some of these states and restrictions in others, but those are all expiring on the 30th. California's in place. The states that are still shut down, Arkansas, California, Connecticut, Delaware, District of Columbia, Hawaii, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Missouri, Nebraska, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Dakota. South Dakota, by the way, had no stay-at-home order in the first place. Neither did Utah. But they did have some restrictions in place, and those are being lifted. Vermont, they're still locked down. Virginia, as I just mentioned, still locked down. Washington State, still locked down. West Virginia, still locked down. Wisconsin still locked down. Wyoming, they had no statewide stay-at-home order, but they did have other restrictions in place that they are loosening now. So there's still a number of states that have quote-unquote lockdown orders, but many states now are starting to move toward opening the economy up again. So that's a good thing, because here again, we can't keep spending money to bail everybody out, because the money to bail everybody out comes from everybody who needs to be bailed out. You know what I mean? The people working is where the money comes from, and nobody's working. And so where does the government get all this money to pay people for not working? I mean, that's another issue too, because I did have somebody approach me the other day. In fact, I think a caller raised this question too. Why are we paying people to not work? I mean, Nancy Pelosi wants to give people $2,000 a month guaranteed income to not work. $2,000 a month. Folks, talk about never letting a good crisis go to waste. I mean, these people are not playing around. I think the other issue that we have got to, oh my goodness, I've got to have, and folks, I promise you, I will get him on. He's really in demand right now. I just had him on a conference call, Stephen Mosher, the author of the book, The Bully of Asia. And I'll tell you something, folks, after hearing what he had to say, this man's, by the way, has been studying China for 40 years. He's lived in China for many years began to live in China starting 40 years ago. And I've talked to some other people who lived in China who bore witness to the things that he had to say. And I'll tell you something, folks. China is being run by a monstrous regime. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. If you've been concerned about how the media has been reporting the virus pandemic, you're certainly not alone. HBO host Bill Maher is not only upset with the way the establishment media is reporting, he has even warned those in the media that their current methods of reporting will help President Donald Trump be reelected. He began by acknowledging that we're starting to see some hope in all this, but fears that this nonstop doom and gloom gives Trump the chance to play the optimist. Then he reminded them that optimists tend to win American elections. To drive his point home, he displayed a graphic of candidate Barack Obama's 2008 campaign poster that had the large words, "Hope." He also gave them a little history lesson. President Franklin D. Roosevelt is famous for saying the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. But he warned the media that if they keep this up, Donald Trump will ride into a second term and there will be no hope left for you to shame. He described the daily drumbeat of depression and terror as panic porn. He explained that everything looks scary if you magnify it 1,000 times. He also cited the major newspapers for describing the coronavirus as apocalyptic, and his advice was to calm down and treat us like adults. He wasn't finished. He also criticized his fellow liberals for making such a big deal out of calling it the Chinese virus. Scientists, he said, who are generally pretty liberal, have been naming diseases after places they came from for a very long time. Bill Maher is right. Sensationalistic reporting and politically correct demands for how to name the virus have not served the public well, and the current virus reporting might even help President Trump win the 2020 election. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
So, I don't know if you saw this, but there was just this big study about anxiety among us. Really interesting in this study about what can keep us up at night. One of the top stressors out of all the things to worry about is paying for healthcare. A huge majority of us say we're worried about that. It's totally understandable, but there's an affordable alternative to health insurance. It's MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it has worked beautifully for more than 25 years. And not only do people save lots of money, they get access to a huge network of doctors. They get to take advantage of 24/7 live access online where they can talk to a doctor and even get prescriptions. And of course, there is the savings. With MediShare, the typical family saves $500 a month. That can help you sleep easier too. There's a lot to love about it. No wonder it's grown so much. Here is the number to find out more. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Ryan Fisher here. America is going to reopen whether our governors want it to or not. Progressives would much rather hurt America than help President Trump. What Democrats believe in is the separation of evangelical Christianity in the state. And AG Bill Barr puts the DOJ to work to protect civil liberties from hyperactive governors next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Now, you know, folks, we're being told by some of these politicians that the new normal has changed, that we will never go back to normal, that there will be a new normal. And I often think of what the left says and accuses conservatives of when we say things like, we want to take America back. We want to restore American values. And what they always say is, yes, we know what you mean. You want to go back to when women couldn't vote. You want to go back to segregation. You want to go back to when children had to work in factories 20 hours a day. I mean, that's this. I don't know whether that's just stupid or it's just outright dishonest. And maybe it's a combination of the two. When we talk about taking America back and bringing back American values and making America great again, as the president has coined it. We're not talking about any of that, but here's one of the things that I'm talking about when I say that, when I think that way. Right now, we have an entitlement culture in our society where we've been balkanized into identity groups, and each group is jockeying to see what it is entitled to and what it should be getting. And so you've got the gender and you've got the race and you've got you know, the religion with Islamophobia and you know, people are just slicing and dicing the body politic of our country into little groups, and everybody is jockeying because everybody's entitled to something, right? And we all want to get our piece. And what about us? And when are we going to get? And, you know, that's not fair. What about equality? And, you know, when I say go back, I remember a time, do you all remember this time, when most Americans, overwhelmingly most Americans, I'm not saying I'm everybody, of course, if you even suggested that an American should get something that they didn't work for, you might have to fight. Because it was considered insulting. And folks, that was across the board. That was all races, all ethnic groups, all backgrounds. And of course, we know that there was a time when men were mainly working and women were taking care of the home. But with my own father, for example, they used to come through the neighborhood. When I say they, I mean these social service people would come through the neighborhood and they would give away cheese, and you know, they had their little welfare stuff that they would give away. And apparently, I guess they had this extra stuff and they would just give it to anybody. And I remember very distinctly if they came to our house, and my father and I lived in a little apartment over a barbershop, and they would come and knock on the barbershop door if it was closed, or they would go through the little yard. There was another little alleyway to a yard that you could walk through to get back there, and they'd come back there and knock on the door to bring, you know, some of the stuff to my father. And I can remember my father looking at them and saying, I work for a living. I work for a living. I don't need the handout. And he was proud. He didn't want to feel like he was putting anything on the table that he had not himself earned. And now you hear politicians saying, we need to give everybody a guaranteed income. Everybody say, yo, you know what? Maybe the time has come. There was a time, folks, when Americans would have... just would have been absolutely incensed at the notion that somebody was going to give them something that they didn't work for. And folks, we've come a long way from that. We've come a long way from that. And that's something we need to go back to. You know that? We need to go back to that sense of dignity and pride in work. That sense that I want to earn what I'm in, what I get, not have somebody give me something because they think I'm some victim of somebody. Which is why I'm free associating here a little bit, but I think there is a logical relationship, which is why I am diametrically opposed to this notion of reparations. Reparations from who for what? Why am I owed reparations? I was never a slave. I've lived in the wealthiest country in the world. I've had an opportunity to get a decent education. I've earned money. What do I need reparations for? For something that somebody in a past generation did to somebody in a past generation, somebody in the present generation owes me in the present generation. That to me is just absolutely ridiculous. But here again, yes, where's mine? Give it to me. Folks, we need to, this coronavirus has opened the door to socialist policies and people getting more into the idea of being entitled and that the government ought to take care of everybody. You know, the Bible I read says, if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now, that's not Bishop Jackson being hard-hearted. That's just what the Word of God says. You know why it says that? Because God gave every single one of us the energy, the ability, the talent to do what needs to be done to take care of ourselves and our families. And he did not design us to not work. He did not design us to sit on our laurels and collect our entitlements. He designed us to work. And look, and I understand, you know, there are people who are handicapped. And you know, to tell you the truth, I've met some handicapped people who put some able-bodied people to shame. I mean, really, you know, in terms of, yeah, they want to work. But there are people we know who cannot take care of themselves, either because of mental or physical disability, and I understand that. I think the church and the body of Christ and American citizens, we step up, and I think we probably ought to do more and expect the government to do less. But there are those circumstances where we need to collectively say, okay, we're going to take care of this group of people, our very elderly, for example. We're going to make sure that they're not out in the streets, that they can be cared for and sheltered and fed and so forth. I don't have a problem with that. Those are people who can't do for themselves. Somebody needs to do for them. But if you got two arms and two legs and two eyes and two ears, and you can ambulate from here to there, a minister friend of mine said one time that a guy came into him and wanted counseling because he was having difficulties at home and that he and his wife weren't getting along and this, that, and the other. And the guy says, well, you know, tell me more about your life. He said, well, you know, my wife doesn't want to do the cooking and da 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 da. And he said to him, he said, well, what are you doing? Well, my wife is working. I'm staying home. He said, so how did that arrangement develop? And he kind of explained to him that he hadn't found a job that he really liked. And his counsel to this young man was three words. Get a job. You know, get a job. Go to work. You know, I mean, my goodness, no wonder you're sitting around lazing, complaining about the fact that your wife won't cook. And you sit at home all day while she goes to work because you haven't found a job that you like. It's a very different world that we're living in. And we need to go back to some of those, shall we say, more traditional American values. Our country would be far better off for it. And nowadays, I think that's partly why services and so many businesses are so poor, because people feel like they're doing the company and doing the customer a business to even work there or to even wait on you, to even help you. I mean, how many of you experience that? You go to a place and people act like they're doing a favor to even acknowledge you. So we need to restore the work ethic. Maybe that's the shorthand way of saying it. We need to restore the work ethic and not allow this communist Chinese Wuhan virus to rob us even further of the work ethic that helped build this great nation. Look, folks, the number is 888-589-8840. One other thing I want to share with you, and again, we can talk about anything you really want to talk about because we know what's been occupying most of our minds and most of our conversation. You want to bring something else up, feel free to. But this is something I had to bring up because it is a particular pet peeve of mine. I'm not going to be able to get into it fully before the break, but I will start it now, and then we'll come back to it when we finished the break. Oregon County has created, in order to help people manage their emotions in the pandemic, they've created a grounding space. A grounding space for certain people. I'm going to save this, but you are not going to believe just how crazy some of our people have gotten. A grounding space. So I'll tell you what the grounding space is. Okay, back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
From my high school days, I recall a poem about a man by the name of Paul Revere. Do you remember how it began? Listen, my children, and you shall hear of the midnight ride of Paul Revere. Now, those may not be the exact words, but they remind us of that poem which we had to memorize. There was another person who made a similar ride during that War of Independence. I doubt that you've ever heard of her. Her name was Sybil Ludington. She was only 16 years of age the night her father received a message that the British had just destroyed a neighboring city and advancing toward their home. Sybil volunteered to ride through the countryside in the middle of the night to warn other residents of the approaching enemy and to call them to arms in defense. All night Sybil rode, going from farmhouse to farmhouse, warning the farmers that British soldiers were advancing and telling them to join in the preparation for battle. When one compares these two rides, he discovers that the poet perhaps did an injustice by writing of Paul Revere. For Paul Revere rode only 10 miles in his famous ride, yet Sybil Ludington rode about 40 miles, and her ride was far more effective. The comparison points out something we need to remember in life. It isn't always the person who does the most good who gets the greatest acclaim. Many have been the number of people who have made outstanding and lasting contributions to society whose name is known by only a few. Don't think that the contribution you make isn't too important simply because your name isn't spread across the country in the mass media. For despite what we think, those who make the headlines are not the only ones who contribute to the good of mankind. More often than not, they aren't even the major ones. If fate should happen to give you the reward of public recognition for the good you do, well and fine. But if not, just remember that your contribution is in no way diminished simply because the world does not know your name. After all, the reason we do the good which we do isn't to gain public recognition. The reason we do it is because we know what we should do. In fact, a person who gets angry because he fails to get public recognition for something he has contributed to society really isn't a person who needs publicity. Above us, keeping watch over us, is one who sees the good we do. He isn't necessarily impressed by the headlines, but he is impressed when we do the best we can with what we have to do with. And it is his recognition, not the public's, which really matters after all is said and done. While the world may not know your name, just remember that he does.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. Folks, the number is 888-589-8840. I'll take your calls in a few minutes. Grounding space. And check this out. This is in Oregon. Oregon County, Multnomah is the county, has decided that they're going to create a grounding space where minorities can spend time in an area that is, quote, now this is the official government document that says this, that is, quote, not dominated by whiteness. Not dominated by whiteness. In fact, here's what's this is called the situation report issued on April 15th by Multnomah County. Quote, and this is, of course, to help people deal with the coronavirus pandemic. Quote, Emergency Operations Center Equity Officer is hosting a grounding space for Black, Indigenous, and People of Color, BIPOC, employees to share, heal, connect, and get grounded in a space that is not dominated by whiteness. Now, folks, you all understand I use metaphors, right? So don't take this the wrong way. I could dope slap somebody with that. I mean, you really, I could just dope slap them over that, you know, and say, what is wrong with you people? How can you as Americans even think that way? My goodness gracious. It just reminds me, I was saying earlier, how far we've gotten from God. Because the fact of the matter is, every single human being is equal in the sight of God. There's no such thing as some sort of ethnic monopoly on virtue or vice. There's no such thing as this group is bad and this group is good and this group you got to stay away from and that group. And, you know, here again, you're talking about going back. You see how this virus is being used as an opportunity to advance this kind of insanity? Talk about going back. Yeah, why don't we want to go back to a time when we all understood that the whole purpose of the civil rights movement, the whole purpose of dealing with the racial and ethnic divisions we've had in our country has been to bring us together. To bring us together as one nation under God. Not rip us apart. And, you know, no wonder China was quick to jump on the whole racism thing, because they know that the left is useful, is a group of useful idiots who are happy to denigrate our country, divide our people, stir up hostility, keep racial tension and confrontation going with silliness like this. Folks, and you know, here again, you want to really talk about racism? You want to really talk about where it is? You know, I've said this before. Look, I know the Ku Klux Klan is racist, and I know skinheads are racist, and you know, white supremacists are racist and all. But you know what? Those people are so small, so marginalized, so off in a corner, that they are of absolutely no consequence whatsoever. But you know who the real problem is, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of the racial future of this country? It's these leftists. Because they have real influence in our universities, in our entertainment culture, in our schools, in our businesses, particularly in the corporate world, in every aspect of our lives. And they are poisoning the culture with garbage like this. See, because, look, if in any one of your neighborhoods, Ku Klux Klan decided, well, we're gonna cordon off an area and we're not allowing any people or black or Hispanic or whatever, they're not. I guarantee all of you who are listening to me right now pretty much are like, what is wrong with these idiots? I mean, what's wrong with them? Why don't they get out of our neighborhood, get out of our city, our town, our county. But something like this, you have the officials of the county who are putting this stuff out under the guise of official county policy and declarations. And as far as I'm concerned, it is no better than a Ku Klux Klan declaration. And it's just sad. And folks, look, this is why we Americans who love God, love this country, respect and believe in our Constitution had better register, had better vote, and we better vote our Christian values, or we turn our country over to idiots like this. And I'll tell you, the future does not portend well if folks like that are in power. Because they're nuts. And let me add this, and they're evil. You know, Jesus said a house divided against itself cannot stand. My goodness gracious, how are we going to have a future for our country with people like this who are using every opportunity they get with this virus? Ought to be uniting us. Everybody ought to be saying, hey, look, let's work together. Let's cooperate with one another. Let's consider one another. And these idiots are off in the corner saying, well, no, we've got to make sure we create a grounding space to avoid the whiteness. I mean, you know, it would be funny if it weren't so tragic. Again, the number is 888-589-8840. Let's come to your calls, folks. Anything you want to talk about is fine. I just had a couple things I wanted to bring up that I thought were the good news. Places are opening up. The bad news is that there's some people like what I just named using the virus for all it's worth for the most evil and pernicious and ridiculous garbage they can come up with. Okay, let's go to Lee in Virginia. Lee, welcome.
Yes, sir, Reverend Jackson, I really enjoy you and your show. I thank God for you. I live in Southwest Virginia, right on the corner of West Virginia and Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
We have had 4 coronavirus cases in Tazewell County, 2 at a time. The first 2 was off quarantine before the second 2. So now we have absolutely none. And our governor, like you said, has shut us down just like he has Northern Virginia. And he said that he's going to treat everybody the same. Well, I've got news for him. In my opinion, the man is a racist and he's a baby killer.
Well, Lee, I agree with you 100%. Let's add to it that the man is also a political hack who is much more interested in the exercise of his own power than he is in the welfare of our people. Because you're right. I said this on the air. I mean, Virginia, you look at the map, and most of the cases are in the Norfolk area, the Richmond area, and Northern Virginia around Fairfax County, Alexandria, Arlington. And the rest of the state has, I mean, it's barely been hit. And yet he's made it a point to say, but I'm going to treat everybody the same. It's just, why? Why would you do that? Because he likes the idea of being exercising power. And also, Lee, he likes the idea of being able to control the upcoming elections, because since Virginia flipped and leftists hold the majority of seats, he can now limit the ability of their challengers to campaign by extending this lockdown for as long as possible. So, yeah, the man is he needs to be out of office, and he will be in 2021. And I just hope that that's the end of his career and that he goes off to do something else, not to be a pediatrician, because I don't think anybody should trust a baby with him, because I agree with you, too. I think the man's a baby killer. Let's go to Gary in Texas. Gary, welcome.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I listen to your show every day. I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
I consider this one of the best talk shows. I listen to a lot of talk shows, and during the coronavirus, I listened to a lot
Gary,
of things.
Gary, hold your thought. Stay with me during the break, okay? And I'm gonna, when I come back from the break, Gary, I'm going to come right back to you, okay? Can you wait?
Yes,
all right. We'll be back in a moment.
There are many different roles that have been added to each of us.
Erin Smalley on Focus on the Family Minute.
And I'm upstairs seeing clients via teletherapy, and I come down in between. I have 2 minutes before the next one is scheduled, and I need to be back upstairs. And I come down, and it's you know, questions, and I'm hungry, and oh, somebody spilled something, so I'm cleaning and planning for dinner, and it's juggling a lot. And I have found that it is super important that I take time for me, that I step away, I go for a walk, I get up in the morning and exercise, I'm spending time with the Lord. And so it really is important that I continually fill up so I can manage the differences in my life right now and the stress, because it is stressful.
You can hear more from Erin today at FamilyMinute.org.
This is Franklin Graham. As news about the coronavirus seems to worsen, many people are feeling overwhelmed, anxious, even fearful. We want to help. At the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, we have a prayer line that's open 24/7. We have staff who would love to speak with you, pray with you. Remember, God loves you.
Call 1-888-388-2683. That's 1-888-388-2683. Or visit billygraham.org.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
That changed my life, just from that ultrasound picture.
When it comes to choice, the Ministry of Preborn offers the ultimate life-saving choice by providing a free ultrasound. When an abortion-minded woman sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to keep growing, and I'm going to be a great mom.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, and their mission is to help save babies' lives and souls through love and compassion and the message of Jesus Christ. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. Let's get right back to your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. And let's come back to you, Gary. Thanks for your patience. So, Gary, you were saying?
I was saying that I listen to your radio show every day. I've tried to call in but didn't get in. Yesterday was really good with the young lady that was on there. That was very good, what she was talking about. Some women, I think, in Laredo had that were cutting hair in their homes, and they were turned in, and it probably wasn't the ideal, the health reason. It was the ideal that, you know, she felt like that if I can't go to work or I can't make a living, you can't. And it's like, you know, just leave those people alone. Yeah. Is the way I felt about that. But back to the coronavirus, I listen to a lot of things. I listen to, you know, the world news and all kinds of different news. And I really feel personally that China could have intentionally set this and let it loose. We don't ever know. We don't know what kind of biological are different, the power grid being shut down in the United States. It's a lot of fear. People are not going to church. I believe a lot of this is Satanistic, that it's just straight out of hell. A lot of it is fear, which I believe I should take the necessary precautions, but come to the point to depend on our government for money and be mad. We can't get it, and the government tell us that I can't do this or I can't do that, and I'm not a person of rights. Don't misunderstand me, but that's just some thoughts I have, and maybe you can kind of take those and expound about them some.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gary. Well, there was a lot there, and I won't try to expound on all of that. I guess what I will say, Gary, is I've talked to Stephen Mosher, who wrote this book, The Bully of Asia, about this coronavirus. And A, he believes that the virus was intentionally developed into a human pathogen that could kill human beings. He believes that that's what China's doing in the Wuhan laboratories. He also believes, though, that it was accidentally unleashed on the Wuhan population. But here's what I also believe, is that while it was accidentally unleashed on Wuhan, it was intentionally unleashed on the world. Because remember, they hid it from us and allowed people to fly out of Wuhan, which is a big city. I think about 8 million people in Wuhan, allowed people to fly out of Wuhan all over the world. And at that point, they could not claim ignorance. They could not claim that was an accident. So in that sense, I think they've done a grand experiment on the world to see just how they can bring the world, particularly the United States of America, to its knees. And we better wake up to the fact that China is really a mortal enemy. So, Gary, thanks for waiting. And while we went to the break, and thanks for the call. Let's see. Let's go to Jeanette in Louisiana. Jeanette, welcome.
Hello, Rev. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, you. It's so wonderful to hear you and the people that are standing up for all people, all people.
Thank you.
Keep preaching, keep crying out to this generation, because this is set up from Satan. You're going to set minorities, they say, in a group. Dr. King died to stop that. That would be so easy if you set a group of people in one area to cut off their life supply, poison them, or do anything to them. Do not. He wanted what? Segregation?
Exactly, Jeanette. Exactly. I mean, it's so bizarre, isn't it? It's just bizarre.
I can see him setting this up. This is Satan. The KKK you have the KKK right there in the Democratic Party. They don't know nothing about destroying and taking people's lives and control. I'm mixed. My family came from Irish Indian, which met a beautiful black American woman, but I'm mixed. It hurts to even, I'm caught in the middle of all, but we're all 100% a child of God. Our color doesn't make us a race, a human being.
That's right. That's right, Jeanette. That is so right. Jeanette, thank you so much for the call. And I appreciate what you've had to say. You're right. The Bible says in, I think it's Acts 17:27, if I'm not mistaken, 17:26, it says, He has made from one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and determine their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. So that's right. We all ultimately come from the same blood. But, you know, the left, you're right. That's straight out of the pit of hell. Slice us, dice us, divide us. And then manipulate and control and use and enslave us. No, thank you. God's got something better for us than that. Let's go to Brian in Texas. Brian, welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I wanted to thank you for your information. And, you know, it's absolutely right what you were saying about the benefits and race. I just filled out the census form, and it's all about race, and it's all about benefits. And it's with government benefits come government control. You know, I think that we could see that the most deadly effect of the coronavirus will be the communist influence in this country. And I'm tired of mincing words and using words like progressive and liberal and socialist. It is communism. We must not forget that they have slaughtered millions of people in every instance to take over a country. And I don't think that the American public is aware how horrible a communist country is for the masses, for the poor people. I don't think that we're aware of that anymore. I think we've lost sight of what communism really is. It's the devil's government. It's atheistic government. And the poor people suffer horribly. They will use racial divide, religious divide. And if the Communist Party is supporting you now, they will turn on you and segregate you out and turn on you when it's time and when they don't need your support anymore.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? There are graves all over the world of people who were once in the favor of the Communist Party and once having fallen out of favor were summarily executed. So you are right. It is a godless, hateful, evil ideology. So thank you for the call, Brian. Really appreciate your call and your comments. And you are right. It is time to stop mincing words and playing games. These people are not progressives. These people really are communists. I said the only thing they can claim is, well, I'm not a member of the Communist Party. Yeah, we know that. But what difference does that make? Because you have all the same ideas. And, you know, even the Communist Party USA, you check out their website, folks, the Communist Party USA. You know what? They don't say they want to make America communist. You know what they say? We want to make America socialist. So then what's the difference? Absolutely none. Okay, let's keep going here. Let's get to Frank in Alabama. Frank, welcome.
Hi, this is Frank. I was just wanting to tell you how much I enjoy your show every day, and I wanted to tell you that that if you weren't didn't have such a good show, then I would love you anyway because of your your attitude. You have really good, outstanding attitude.
Thank you, Fred. I appreciate that.
But I wanted to really talk about the coronavirus. I'm really slow. I'm not a real smart person and not a real fast person, but I dig deep into some things if they're important enough. And I got into this one, and I have finally figured out all the connections and things. And the first caller was right, and I think it was the third caller. There was a lady that called it out of the pits of hell. But the origin is in the origin of all of it is in the Garden of Eden and the Satan himself. And so we can understand this coronavirus best, I think, if you understand that we have been lied to big time by people who have been practicing lying for 100 years or more. And been in our country since the First and Second World Wars, so as citizens. So now we are up against this, and I am so proud of President Trump. I believe he understands this mess, but he's not ready for whatever reason. I think it's God's hands. I think he's whatever reason he has. I'll go with him instead of my smarts.
All right. Well, Frank, thank you for the call. I'm almost out of time. Appreciate it. Let me see if I can get Amy in before we have to go. Amy, I'm Oklahoma. You're on.
That's the lock that Jeremy needs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Amy, you've got the floor.
Okay. I am so thankful for the opportunity to talk to you about so many things. I came here in the States in 2008. I'm from the Philippines. So as of now, I am not a citizen yet. I am a permanent resident, and I'm a Christian. What makes me so amazed, how come a Christian become a Democrat? Hello, sir.
Listen, Amy, you probably know the answer to that. You probably have some idea of the answer to that yourself, but go ahead.
Yeah, and then one thing more. Here in our office, I work in the post office as a mail carrier. And then and here in our office, it's just a small post office, but I'm the only minority here. So all of them are white, and I'm Asian, and I'm not a citizen. They are all citizens. Sometimes I feel that little thing. Sometimes I feel that how do you call that? They kind of have different treatments that they do to me. They did to me.
Well, you know what, Amy, I wish we could go on with this conversation because I'd love to talk to you about that. And maybe call me back again sometime when, you know, it's earlier in the program and we can talk. You know, folks, look, here's the reality of life that we face. People are complicated. And I think that what the left has tried to do is make us all think that any differences that we human beings have has got to be, if there's a racial difference between us, then that's what it is. And it could be all kinds of things, you know? I mean, some people are just nice and some people are not, and that's just the way it is, and it has nothing to do with color. But look, folks, I got to go. Thank you all for your prayers. Thank you for listening. Remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.